Welcome to the Empowered Modern Witches Show. Join us to learn simple, accessible ways that the seasons, moon phases, and astrology can help you finally create a spiritual self-care practice you can be consistent with. I'm your host, Tanae Stewart, the Witch of Lupin Hollow. I'm a practicing witch, a certified astrologer, and a published author, and I'm on a mission to help modern witches like you nourish your mind, body, and intuition so you can be your most magical self. All day, every day. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's masterclass. So I am so excited about this class. We are going to be delving really deep into astrology and all sorts of really exciting topics. We have so many people jumping in. We have almost 500 people registered for this class. So beyond exciting. So I just want to give you a little overview of what we're going to do today, and then we're going to go straight into it. So in today's masterclass, we're going to kind of go through two main sections of this presentation of this class. So in the first section, I'm really going to be giving you an overview, kind of like a crash course in my methods of practicing astrology. So I'm really kind of pulling the curtain back. If you are in some of my programs like the Starlight Coven or the Inner Circle, then you're going to be familiar with a lot of what I'm talking about, but I'm really presenting it in a different way than we've talked about it before. I'm in kind of more of a cohesive, like this is the method kind of a way. So I'm really going to give you a crash course in my astrology methods. We'll do some Q&A about that. And then in the second half or second portion, we are going to talk about how you can use astrology in your life, in your business, in whatever kind of work you do, and how you can really incorporate that, as well as how you can become a certified astrologer if that's something that you're interested in. So we're going to cover a lot of ground. I don't know how long today's class is going to be because I could probably talk about this for hours, but I will try to restrain myself. And then get into it. Let me share my slides here. Okay. Do the slides look good? Is that all you guys are seeing? Cool. Perfect. Okay. So what I'm going to do, what I'm going to do is some of you who have been on lots of presentations with me before know that I cannot read the chat while I present, because I will be wildly distracted. So I'm going to keep the chat up just for a minute here while we go through kind of our intro. And then I am going to go ahead and close the chat. You are welcome to continue dropping reactions and questions in there as we go along. And then I will come back and answer questions kind of periodically. Okay. So if you ask a question, I don't answer it right away. It's because I have the chat minimized so I don't get completely distracted. In the meantime, before I minimize my chat, I would love to have everybody just kind of drop in the chat, you know, where you're joining from, what you're excited about, while we go through our intro here. So today's class is called Celestial Alchemy, which I'm going to explain in a minute what that phrase means. And we are specifically really talking about the concept of simplifying astrology, because astrology can be really complex, can be really overwhelming at times. And I really believe that astrology is, like most things, much more powerful, much more potent when it is simple, when it is accessible. We're also going to be talking about, as I said, your roadmap to certification, if you are interested in becoming a certified astrologer. And I'm going to talk about a few different reasons that might be something you want to pursue. All right, we have people joining from all over San Diego, Idaho, Missouri, Ottawa, Maryland, Georgia, Germany, all over. I love that. That's so exciting. Okay, so allow me to introduce myself. Many of you are new. Many of you are in other programs I have, so we have a great mix. So I'm in Northern California, and my name is Tanae Stewart, if you don't know, if you're brand new to my world. And I am, in my own life and practice, a practicing cottage witch. So magic and spirituality and herbalism, like these are all things that are a really important part of my own life. And I've been in spiritual business since 2016. So I've been a practicing witch for, I think, at least maybe 12-ish years, maybe longer. I don't know. Really, it's lifelong, right? That's just when I can like pinpoint doing maybe my first ritual. And it's then I just started my spiritual business in 2016. So I started out as a blogger. And the very first thing I ever offered, the first product I ever offered, was a moon sign reading. So astrology has always been a really core part of that journey. I became a certified astrologer myself in 2020. I completed a certification with my longtime astrology mentor, Daphna Romanoff, who is an amazing astrologer and has a really wonderful, really spiritual perspective and approach to astrology. So I completed my certification with Daphna. And I've also published 2 books so far. You heard it here first, because I realized I forgot to announce this earlier. I am working on my 3rd book. And we're doing the photo shoot for that this week. So that's really exciting. It's a big week. So I have 2 books out, 3rd book on its way. That'll be out next year. And I've been featured in lots of different publications. You've probably seen things like Bustle, Refinery 29, Well and Good. I've been around for a minute on the internet. Okay, so before we move into the first part of our presentation, I just want to give you a heads up. So make sure you stay to the end of today's workshop. I'm going to be talking about my new program, the Celestial Alchemy Astrology Certification, where anyone who joins the certification, you're going to get really in-depth instruction on all of the unique methods that I'm going to be giving you a crash course in today. And you'll have the chance to become certified in my methods. So that program starts in less than 2 weeks, which is so exciting. We already have almost 20 people signed up for the program. And the deadline to sign up is going to be May 18th. So stick around. I'm going to be talking more about that towards the end of today's class. Okay, let's get into it. I'm going to minimize the chat so I don't get distracted. But as I said, please do feel free to put questions in the chat as we go along. So we're going to have kind of 2 sections with a little break in the middle. And when we hit that break point, I will do Q&A for the first section. So any questions you have as we go along through this first section, go ahead and drop those in the chat and I will circle back to them. All right, let's get started. So today's workshop is really focusing on what I call the Celestial Alchemy Method. And the foundational kind of motto of this method is that the sun, the moon, and the stars become more than the sum of their parts when we learn and work with them all together. Okay, so when I first started practicing magic, when I first started working with astrology for myself, I learned these as 3 completely different, totally disparate systems, right? I learned about the seasons and the wheel of the year and the solar holidays, like the solstices and equinoxes. I learned about the moon phases, the new and full moons, and how we celebrate those as witches. I learned about astrology, about my own astrological chart, about Mercury retrograde, all those sorts of things, but they were never connected, right? There was never any connection between them. And a few years into my practice, I finally really started to find these common threads between them and realized there was hardly anyone out there talking about these as one system, as one cycle. And the reality is that the seasons and the moon phases and astrology, or the movement of the planets, are all part of one larger cycle of nature. So I'm going to break that down as we go through the next several slides here. So we're going to cover all that ground. But what's most important to understand here is that these 3 individual cycles are so much more powerful when we work with them all together, which is where the idea or the term celestial alchemy came from, because the idea of alchemy is the practice or the concept of turning originally iron into gold, right? Turning something common and accessible into something really, really valuable, something that was more valuable than what we started with, right? And that's really how I feel about the celestial alchemy method, is that when we work with these three different cycles all together and we understand how they relate to one another and how they interact with one another, they really become much more powerful. And they're actually easier to learn this way. Okay. So if you've ever felt confused or overwhelmed by the moon phases, the wheel of the year, learning your birth chart, the transits, right? Retrogrades and things like that. If you've ever felt overwhelmed by any one of them or by trying to learn each of them separately, then this method honestly is so much simpler and so much easier. So they become more powerful altogether and they give each other so much more context. Okay. Okay. So first up here, I really want to give you a perspective, some insight into how I practice as an astrologer. So there are a bunch of ways that we can simplify astrology. And we're going to talk about a lot of those, but first I want to give you kind of these foundations. Like, what are the foundations of my practice as an astrologer that inform these methods? Okay. So first off, I practice modern progressive astrology. So what does that mean? There's actually a lot of confusion about this out there, I've discovered. So I wanted to kind of unpack this. So traditional astrology is really the foundation of most forms of astrology out there, even right now, okay? But modern progressive astrology kind of takes the traditional structures, the traditional foundations, and in some ways reimagines them, in some ways adds some modern context and nuance to them. So a couple of hallmarks of the type of progressive astrology that I practice and that I teach. One is that progressive astrology is inclusive of the spectrum of divine masculine and divine feminine, right? So there are six masculine signs, six feminine signs, quote unquote. And traditional astrology divides them pretty strictly in that way. Progressive astrology really takes more of a perspective that every sign, every element, every planet, right? Everything in astrology exists on this spectrum of the divine masculine and divine feminine. So the divine masculine being the more active aspects of life, right? Not just astrology, but everything. The more active aspects of things like the planet Mars, right? We think of as being masculine, but Mars appears in everyone's charts, right? Regardless of gender. Venus, we think of as being very feminine, right? The goddess of love. Again, Venus appears in everybody's charts, regardless of gender. So progressive astrology, it takes this much more inclusive perspective that I think is really important. At the same time, I also definitely take a more feminist perspective to astrology that's really in contrast to this traditional patriarchal approach. So one of the ways that I like to do this is through, number one, through working with a lot of more, we're going to talk about archetypes in a few slides, so I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I do work with a lot of archetypes that are more traditionally seen as divine feminine. And I do also like to provide other terms that are more gender neutral, but to be able to see the kind of feminist perspective in every sign and every planet. I also really like to introduce asteroids, goddess asteroids, into my astrology practice. And the reason for that is because they add a lot of nuance. So in traditional astrology, there are 12 zodiac signs, right? Six of which are said to be feminine, and there are only two feminine planets, or rather one planet and one luminary, Venus and the moon. And they are responsible for carrying that whole load. And everything else is masculine. It's very, very, very unbalanced. So I like to use goddess asteroids as a way to create a lot more balance in our modern approach to astrology. So definitely a feminist perspective and also really honoring this spectrum of gender. Another way that I practice modern progressive astrology is that in my practice and in the way I teach, the planets, the signs, absolutely everything in astrology is neutral. Okay, there are no bad signs or placements. Frankly, there are also no good signs or placements, right? Everything is very neutral. So in traditional astrology, we talk a lot about the malefics and the benefics, okay? So the malefic planets are traditionally Mars and Saturn, and where Mars and Saturn go, things tend to get stirred up, right? In this traditional perspective, things tend to be more challenging. Venus and Jupiter are said to be the benefic planets or the benevolent planets, right? Where they go, good things tend to happen. But this is actually a really narrow perspective, right? Even when we try to focus on the positive, because Jupiter, yes, brings abundance, but Jupiter can also bring too much of a good thing at times. Mars, yes, brings some challenges, some anger, some headstrong energy that sometimes we really need in order to motivate us, right? So this neutrality in astrology, I think, is really important and a really important reframe. It also makes astrology so much more empowering because nothing is ever fated, right? There are infinite ways that any aspect of astrology can be manifested, whether that's in your own chart and in therefore in your life and your personality, whether that's in the transits. We don't have to dread anything in astrology, nor do we have to be disappointed when a supposedly good transit didn't pan out the way we thought it was going to, right? So much more empowering. I also just want to note that I specifically practice tropical or seasonal or Western astrology. I do not practice Vedic astrology. It's a really fascinating system that I know very little about. So if you're interested in Vedic astrology, I am not the one to teach it to you. So I just want to be clear that I practice tropical astrology. I also really take a shamanic approach to astrology. And this is definitely founded in my work and my training with my mentor, Daphna Romanoff, who very much teaches this perspective. So the idea of shamanic astrology is that we work with the planets as spirit guides. And I think this is really important to note because not all forms of astrology are inherently spiritual, right? People practice all different kinds of astrology. People practice medical astrology. They practice astroherbalism, like so many different ways that you can approach astrology. For me, it is definitely a spiritual practice. And that's definitely the way that I teach about astrology. And when we work with the planets as spirit guides, one, we're really seeing the planets and the zodiac signs and everything else in astrology as guides, right? And as spirits, as deities, as entities unto themselves. You can absolutely do this from a secular perspective. This doesn't have to be from a religious or, you know, worshiping deity kind of perspective. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. But it's more that the planets and the archetypes of astrology exist to guide us. And that we can incorporate lots of different spiritual practices into our astrology practice. Everything from herbalism and plants to crystal healing, to tarot, to goddess work, like anything and everything can be incorporated with astrology, which is something we're going to talk a lot more about in the second section of our class today. Okay. So the other really important foundation of this celestial alchemy method is that really the core foundation of everything we're talking about today, this idea that simple is potent. So when I talk about simplifying astrology, I don't mean this like pop astrology, break everything down to its stereotypes. Let's just look at your sun sign kind of astrology, right? That's not what we're talking about at all here. What we're talking about is breaking the very complex systems of astrology down to their most potent essentials, the elements that make them up. So with that said, we literally start with the four elements. Everything in astrology and everything in the universe, frankly, comes down to the elements. So we have the four elements of fire, earth, air, and water. And these are the foundational building blocks of everything we work with. You can break pretty much any system down to these elements. You can break the tarot down, you can break down plants and crystals and astrology and the moon phases and the seasons. Everything comes down to these four elements. And when we can break it down like this, right, we can see that, yes, there are 12 planets, there are 12 signs. Yes, there are all these planets, thousands of asteroids. There are 12 houses. There's all these different pieces and elements to memorize, is how it often feels in astrology. But really, it's four things. Everything comes down to these four elements. Everything is either fire, earth, air or water, or some combination of those, right? That's not the only way we can simplify. Okay, so I always like to break things down to the elements. And a lot of the ways I teach is that, you know, if you have Mercury in a fire sign, this is what's going on. If you have Venus in an air sign, this is what's going on, right? Really breaking it down to those elements. But it's not the only way. Another way that we can really break down astrology is that, yes, there are 12 zodiac signs. And yes, they all carry their own unique energetic signature. They all have their own archetypes, which we're going to talk about in a moment. But much more importantly, there are actually six pairs of signs, not 12 individual signs. Okay. And this is where we really start to see how context helps us understand astrology and the seasons and the moon phases so much more easily, okay? Because they give each other context. Nothing in any of these systems exists in a vacuum. So we have 12 zodiac signs, but each of them is in a pair. Every sign has a natural opposite. Every sign forms an axis with its opposite sign, okay? And we're going to talk, I have a slide that's going to show you what those pairs are. But rather than seeing 12 individual signs that you need to memorize and you need to remember what they stand for and what their symbols are and all the things, right? All of that comes so much more naturally when you understand how that one sign is in relationship with all of the others and especially with its opposite. So for example, Aries is the first sign in the zodiac and its opposite is Libra. Okay. So where Aries is Mars energy, where Aries is fire, where Aries is action, right? Libra is Venus. Libra is air. Libra is intellect and conversation and beauty, right? And so yes, they are opposites, but more importantly, not only do they balance one another, but they form a whole spectrum of experience. It's not that Aries is over there and Libra's over there and they don't get along, right? That's like stereotypical pop astrology compatibility stuff. That's not true compatibility, right? Aries and Libra, rather, they balance one another, they challenge one another, and they form this spectrum from action, from anger to beauty to love, right? And neither one of them would be totally balanced without the other, okay? So there are not 12 zodiac signs, there are six pairs of signs. So right there, we've broken it down. Right. Now, there are also 12 archetypal, we might say, units of energy. And we're going to talk a lot more about this in a couple slides. But it's not just the signs that we can group together, it's also the planets and the houses. Okay. So every planet rules a sign and every sign rules a house. So when we combine them, when we understand what those relationships are, we now really only have to remember 12 things, right? 12 pieces. And those 12 pieces even don't exist individually. They exist as an opposite to one of the other 12, right? So for example, Mars rules Aries. The planet Mars rules the sign Aries, which rules the first house, okay? And when we bring archetypes into this, it really helps us not just remember these abstract concepts and abstract terms, but it really helps us step into the shoes of like, what does it mean for us to be embodying Mars energy or Aries energy or first house energy, right? Archetypes give us a character to step into the shoes of. So the archetype, and we're going to go through all of them, but the archetype of Mars and Aries and the first house is the warrior, right? It's about action. It's about passion. It's about momentum and motivation. Okay. Now, the other component here that we haven't really talked about yet are the houses. So the houses, when you look at a picture of your chart, okay, there are 12 wedges. So if you've ever generated a copy of your astrology chart, put in your birth time, gotten your chart, right? The chart is a circle and it's divided into these 12 little pie slices. Now, there are lots of different ways of calculating those wedges. Okay, lots of different ways of calculating the houses. They're called house systems. I work in my astrology practice with the whole signs house system. Okay, it's the oldest system. It's the original house calculation system, and it's by far the simplest. All right. Now, although I pretty much exclusively work with and teach whole signs houses, my astrology practice is inclusive of other perspectives. So I teach whole signs. I encourage people to try out whole signs because it's really powerful. I'll talk in a moment about why. But all house systems are valid, okay? Most forms of astrology inform and influence each other, or at least they complement one another. So if you are really accustomed to working with a particular house system, I encourage you to try out whole signs because there might be some really interesting information for you there. But I also think that every house system can exist together, okay? And I'm happy if anybody has specific questions about house systems, I'm happy to go further into that. Just go ahead and drop it into the chat and I'll circle back to it. One of the reasons though, why I really like whole signs houses is despite it being the oldest and kind of the original, it's also the least Eurocentric. So most other house systems are very much based on how far north or south you are from the equator. Someone born very far north or very far south, and I have seen quite a few charts like this. Other house systems, for example, the Placidus system, which is very common, someone born very far north or south, their chart will be wildly different than someone born at the same time on the same longitude. Their charts will be very, very different from each other versus if, someone is using the whole signs house system, it's not centering people born in Europe or North America, especially middle North America, as much or at all. Actually, whole signs houses is very equalizing in that way. So that's one of the many reasons why I prefer it. And I should also explain the reason why whole signs houses is the simplest is because it places one zodiac sign in every house. So if you've ever looked at your chart with like Placidus houses, for example, it's very likely that your signs, the signs in your chart overlap multiple houses, overlap two houses, sometimes even overlap three houses. It's much more complex. A lot of astrologers prefer it because they feel that it's more nuanced, right? The chart has so much more variation from person to person. But I actually find that there's this really beautiful archetypal quality about having one sign in each house. And again, I can kind of unpack and talk more about that if anybody has questions. Okay, moving forward. So now I want to really break down these three cycles, right? So at the very beginning, I mentioned we have these three cycles of nature, the seasons, the moon phases, and astrology. And I want to just move through each of these briefly and talk about how they interact, right? Because this is really the core of the celestial alchemy method, is how these three cycles are actually one cycle. Okay, so first off, we're actually going to start in reverse. Okay, we're going to start with astrology. So the first, way most of us are introduced to astrology is natal chart astrology. This is when you get your chart based on the day, time, and location where you were born, okay? Now, I will say, if you do not know the exact time you were born, you can still calculate a lot of your chart, but there are certain things you will not be able to calculate, and those are basically your rising sign and the houses. So the rising and the houses are very dependent on the exact time you were born. The rest of your chart, pretty much you can calculate even without birth time. So there's two main components of astrology, okay? The first is your natal chart, the chart based on when you were born. So your natal chart is literally just a map of all of the planets and the sun and the moon, and you can place asteroids and things in it as well at the moment that you were born from our perspective on Earth. Now, this is such an important thing that I think gets really glossed over sometimes, is that astrology is not based on where things literally are in the sky or in the universe. They're based on where they appear to be in the sky from our perspective on a given day at a given time in a given city, a given location on the Earth. Okay, so astrology is very, very innately human. Okay, if we were on another planet, astrology would be completely different because we would see it in a completely different way. Okay, so learning to interpret your natal chart is a really, really powerful place to start with astrology. You can then, of course, extrapolate out and learn to interpret charts for others. But I really believe that starting with your own chart is so important. And in the certification program, that is where we're going to be starting, is really delving deeply into understanding your own chart. Because it's definitely where I started. I think it's where most people start. But really learning to understand how the different planets and signs and houses and combinations of one another manifest in your own life and really seeing that tangible evidence of them is perhaps the most important way of simplifying astrology, right? Taking it out of the abstract and seeing it reflected in your own life. So understanding your natal chart is basically understanding your core essence. Okay. This is about understanding the core essential aspects of yourself. It's your personality, but it's not just your personality. It's not just how you show up in the world. There are also things in the chart that can be perceived as karmic, right? What you're here to do and be and experience, what you're here to release, what you're here to heal, what you're here to learn to embody, right? The astrology chart has so much incredibly powerful wisdom for us. And I will also say that, you know, there are infinite ways that every single natal chart can manifest in someone's life. So five people might all have Venus in Gemini, and they might all express it in really different ways. There's also going to be common threads between them, right? So really where you want to start with learning your chart is the planets and asteroids, although I encourage you to start with planets. The planets, what signs they're in your chart, and then which houses they're in as well. So every planet is in a sign and a house. And they're only in one sign and only in one house. Cusps are not really a real thing, okay? So really starting to unpack that for yourself. Every planet rules an aspect of your personality or an area of your life. And that planet, that area of your life is colored through this unique combination of sign and house. And in the next slide, I'm going to take you through the planets that rule each sign, rule each house, and what their archetypes are, because just even if all you took away from this is the next slide, it's super powerful information, okay? You can also take it one step further and start to unpack the planets in your chart in relationship to one another, what we call aspects in astrology. These are basically geometric relationships, how many degrees apart each planet is from the others in your chart, and we can assign meaning to those. Planets that are opposite one another, right, are going to be creating balance in your life or asking you to create balance. Planets that are really, really close together, their energies are going to be blended and tied up. Those areas of your life are going to be associated with each other. So planets in signs, in houses, and planets in relationship to one another. These are the two most important things to start with. And you can kind of disregard everything else when you're first starting out, especially. And honestly, even when you've been practicing astrology for years, you circle back to these essentials, okay? We don't need to try to boil the ocean, as a friend of mine would say. Okay, now the other form of astrology that is really important are the transits. So the transits is a really broad catch-all term for the movement of the planets, the sun, and the moon through the zodiac, okay? So all of the planets are constantly in motion. They're always moving forward or appearing to move backward, which are retrogrades, through the 12 signs of the zodiac. They move around the zodiac in order, starting from Aries, moving to Pisces, okay? So every planet is always in a sign. And there's a couple of ways we work with this. Number one, where each planet is in the zodiac at any given time is really influencing the collective mood and themes and focus. So what we as a collective, what we as a society are focusing on, okay? So right now, Venus is in Cancer. Venus rules relationships. Cancer is all about like coziness and rest and self-care. A lot of people that you may know may be really kind of hibernating right now. They're wanting to like cuddle up with their partner or, you know, go on some bestie dates and just be really in intimate relationship and connection and safety with the people they care about. That is a collective theme right now that's being reflected through Venus in Cancer. When Venus moves into Leo next month, that collective vibe will shift, okay? Now, the other way that we really work with transits and that is really kind of taking it to the next step, but that is so incredibly powerful, is knowing how the planets, as they move through the zodiac, knowing how they activate your own chart, okay? And the next two things we're going to look at after the archetypes is the movement of the sun and the movement of the moon around your chart, which is a type of transit, okay? So we're going to put a pin in that for a second and circle back to it. First, I want to go through the zodiac. I'm just going to peek at the chat here. Let me know if this is resonating or making sense. If you have questions as we go along, feel free to drop them in. And I'm going to circle back in a couple of slides to answer questions about all of this information that we're unpacking in such a crash course kind of a way. Oh, thanks guys for the love on my books. Okay, so this slide is perhaps the most important slide in this class today, okay? If you are a member of the Starlight Coven or the Inner Circle, then you have seen this list many times. It is very, very much a strongly foundational part of the Celestial Alchemy method that I teach. So as I mentioned earlier, every planet, and frankly, every asteroid, although we're mostly working with planets in this case, as we're really going to the essentials, every planet rules a sign, a zodiac sign, and every zodiac sign rules a house. So these three together form these units of energy. So if you know what Mars is about, then you know something of what Aries is about, and you know something of what the first house is about. Now, yes, there is more nuance than this, absolutely. There is more, you know, little threads for us to untangle and unravel. Especially as you really start to develop your own astrology practice or your own methodology, right? You're going to start to find the nuance of what makes Mars different from Aries, okay? So there's more to this. But I've been practicing astrology for, I don't know, ever. And I've been practicing this method for a good probably five-ish years, maybe longer now, that I've been really working on developing it. And several years that I've been teaching it in this form. And I still circle back just to these essentials. Okay. So it really doesn't have to be that much more complicated than this. So I want to take you through these. So as I also mentioned, every sign in the zodiac and its associated planet and house are associated with archetypes. Now, these are the 12 archetypes that I work with and teach. These are the 12 archetypes specific to the Celestial Alchemy method. They are not the only archetypes you can associate with each planet, sign, and house, okay? These are just the ones that I teach. So you can also, you know, craft these into your own. And that is something we'll be doing in the certification program as well. But I want to take you through these. And we're going to go through them as pairs, because this is how really the zodiac functions at its core. So first we have, as we already said, Mars, the planet of action, rules Aries, the first sign of the zodiac, rules the first house. These three are the warrior archetype, okay? Opposite Aries, we have Libra. So Venus, the planet of love and desire, rules Libra. An air sign, and the seventh house. And these three together are the lover archetype, okay? So we have the warrior, we have the lover, Mars and Venus. Then we have Taurus and Scorpio. Okay. So Venus also rules Taurus. So remember I said the feminine quote unquote planets in astrology have to really pull their weight. So Venus rules Taurus, and Taurus rules the second house. And these three together are the archetype of the goddess. I've also, for the archetypes that are more specifically feminine in nature, I've also given a gender neutral alternative. Opposite Taurus, we have Scorpio. So the planet, or dwarf planet rather, Pluto, which is the planet of death and rebirth and transformation. Pluto rules Scorpio and the eighth house. And these are the archetype of the witch. So we have the goddess and the witch. And remember, these pairs are opposites, but also a spectrum of energy. Then we have Gemini. Okay, Mercury, the planet of communication, rules Gemini and the third house. These are the archetype of the magician. Now I really distinguish between the witch and the magician. The witch is transformation. The witch transforms their reality, often through like shadow work or an underworld journey. The magician is more about adaptation and evolution, right? Shifting their reality until it is completely different. So the magician kind of like is more earthbound in a way. And then opposite, we have Jupiter, which is the planet of expansion. It's about all the ways we expand our horizons, travel and abundance and education and spirituality. Jupiter rules Sagittarius and the ninth house. And these three together are the archetype of the healer. Okay, so we have the magician, Gemini, the healer, Sagittarius. Then we have Cancer. I forgot to mention the elements here. So Aries, fire, Libra, air, Taurus, earth, Scorpio, water, Gemini, air, Jupiter, fire, Sagittarius, fire. Then we have Cancer, which is a water sign. Cancer is the only sign ruled by the moon, and also rules the fourth house. Cancer, these three together, or Cancer, are the archetype of the mother or the caregiver, right? Any kind of nurturing energy. And opposite, we have Saturn, which is the planet of restriction and responsibility, which rules the earth sign Capricorn and the 10th house. And these three together are the crone, or grandmother, grandfather, elder, same vibe. So we have the mother and the crone. Our next pair is Leo and Aquarius. So this Leo is the only sign ruled by the sun. So we have the sun, which in astrology rules joy and happiness, which rules Leo, which rules the fifth house, fire sign. And these are the archetype of the sovereign, or the king, or the queen. And opposite, we have Uranus, which is the planet of revolution and change and rebellion, which rules the air sign Aquarius and the 11th house. And these three together are the archetype of the rebel. So we have the sovereign and the rebel. And then our last set of signs here is, so I've actually listed Vesta, which is an asteroid. Virgo is traditionally ruled by Mercury, and I do absolutely work with Mercury as the ruler of Virgo. But I prefer Vesta. As a Virgo rising myself, I have some opinions about this. So I do tend to list Vesta as the ruler of Virgo, but know that it's also Mercury. So Vesta is the asteroid of ritual, which rules Virgo, earth sign, and the sixth house. These three together are the archetype of the priestess. And opposite, we have Neptune, the planet of illusion, which rules the water sign Pisces and the 12th house, all of which together are the archetype of the oracle. Okay. So when you look at these in relationship to one another, not only have we just, you know, kind of reduced this seemingly endless list of 12 signs and 12 houses and planets and endless asteroids and things, right, down to 12 things, or even six things if you just remember them as pairs. And this isn't just to make it easier to memorize, right? This gives them so much more context because Mars no longer exists in a vacuum. Mars exists as the ruler of Aries, as the warrior in relationship, in conversation with Venus and Libra, the lover, right? So much more context here than when we try to learn them all separately. Okay. So this is really, really the foundation of the Celestial Alchemy Method. And really, like, a lot of what we'll be doing in the certification program is really unpacking all of this information first in your own chart and then learning how to apply it to the transits and charts that you're reading, right? Whether for friends and family or clients or whoever. But there's also two other important components of this method. So, or three-ish, two with like a little side one, because I can't help myself. Okay, so the next piece is seasonal astrology, right? So remember, the Celestial Alchemy Method is about the sun, the moon, and the stars. So seasonal astrology is the sun's component here. So there's two main ways that we work with the sun or seasonal astrology in this method. The first is through the Wheel of the Year. So the Wheel of the Year is a modern construction inspired or based on ancient pagan festivals, primarily Celtic in origin, Celtic and Germanic. So each of the pagan festivals in the Wheel of the Year align with certain zodiac signs. Okay, and knowing this tells us a lot about what those festivals truly honor and celebrate. So for example, and they also show us the opposites, right? It also makes the Wheel of the Year more equalizing for Northern and Southern hemispheres, okay? So for example, we have just celebrated Beltane, right? In the Northern hemisphere. So it's May, it's Taurus season, which means it's Beltane. Now in the Southern hemisphere, well, first actually, so Beltane is always associated with Taurus energy, even in the Southern hemisphere, which I'll explain in a moment. So Taurus and Beltane are interlinked, right? Taurus, remember, is Venus. It's the goddess. It's an earth sign, right? Just right there. That tells us a lot about what Taurus's energy is all about, right? It's about this like grounded, connected to the earth kind of energy. It's all about pleasure and springtime, right? It occurs in springtime in the Northern Hemisphere. So those are a lot of the same themes of Beltane, right? There's this sensual, like, earthy energy at Beltane. At the opposite end of the year, we have Samhain, right? Which happens in October in the Northern Hemisphere. It happens during Scorpio season. Remember, the opposite of Taurus, Taurus in the spring, Scorpio in the fall. And it's all about the underworld and the ancestors, right? Scorpio is literally ruled by the planet named for the god of the underworld, right? So there's a lot that Scorpio tells us about Samhain. Okay, but what about in the Southern Hemisphere? They're switched, right? Beltane takes place during Taurus season, during Scorpio season, and Samhain takes place during Taurus season. But they're actually the same thing, okay? So not only are Taurus and Scorpio opposites forming this spectrum of energy, but in lunar astrology, sorry, I'm going to skip my slides around a little. In lunar astrology, we know that the full moon can only occur when the moon is in the opposite sign as the sun. So therefore, going back to our archetypes, during Taurus season, we have to have a full moon in Scorpio. And during Scorpio season, we have to have a full moon in Taurus. So no matter where you are in the world, Beltane is connected to Taurus and Scorpio, and Samhain is connected to Scorpio and Taurus, right? So seasonal astrology gives us so much more context about the Wheel of the Year and about the seasons and about what we're celebrating and that it doesn't exist in a vacuum, right? Spring is always in conversation with fall. Summer is always in conversation with winter, right? And vice versa. So seasonal astrology and practicing this and understanding these themes tells us a lot about these different festivals if that is part of your practice. But there's another way we also work with seasonal astrology. And that is my proprietary concept of your personal seasons. So the sun spends about a month every year in each zodiac sign. Okay. And you have every zodiac sign in your chart somewhere, even if you don't have planets in some of them. So as the sun is trucking along all every month, moving through the 12 signs of the zodiac, it's activating each different house, each different sign in your chart. This is a really, really core essential aspect of this method, is that the sun does this every year, the moon does it every month, and the planets do it in their own times, in their own timelines. So the sun moves around your chart every year. And I theorized for myself and have found this to be very true for a lot of clients, so I teach it, that when the sun enters your first house, which is your rising sign, okay, which remember, you do need your birth time for this, that is the beginning of your personal spring, okay? So in a natural chart where every sign is in the house it naturally rules, which the only people who have that chart are people who have Aries rising, okay? Aries is in the first house, and Aries is connected to the spring equinox. The spring equinox always occurs in Aries season in the Northern Hemisphere. So the first house is associated with spring equinox energy. It's that like new year, new me, new vibes kind of an energy, right? So even if you do not have Aries rising, which most of us do not, right? It's a pretty small section of the population. If you don't have Aries rising, then your experience of that new year energy might be at a totally different time of year. So we work with this idea of the personal seasons, where as the sun enters your rising sign, you experience your personal new year. You experience your personal spring equinox, which for me, you know, is in like late summer, early fall. You know, I have clients, it's the dead of winter. I have clients, they have Aries rising and it is the spring equinox, right? Now there's some more nuance to this that we have to unpack that, you know, we also have our own experience and relationship with each actual season. So, you know, maybe your technical spring equinox is at the winter solstice, but you really struggle with seasonal depression, right? Like it's maybe not going to feel like that. So we have to bring our own human experience to this theory, but it can be very powerful. Now, the third tool that is forms this kind of this tripod of cycles in this method is lunar astrology. So I've already touched on this a little bit. So number one, the moon does not give off any of its own light. Okay, the moon does, it's a luminary, but it doesn't give off light. It only reflects the sun's light. And again, this is a reminder that everything in all these cycles we're talking about is so very earthbound, right? The moon phases are not anything the moon is actually doing. The moon phases are just our experience of the moon from our perspective here on Earth. Okay. It's incredibly powerful to understand this because it, again, gives us so much more context. So why is this important? So the sun reflects the moon reflects the portion of the sun's light that is visible from Earth, okay? That is not blocked by the shadow of the Earth, okay? So the only way that we can have a new moon where the moon is completely dark in the sky is if the sun and the moon are exactly lined up, okay? Which means they're exactly lined up in the same zodiac sign. Which means every month when the sun moves into a new zodiac sign, we're also going to have a new moon in that sign that month, right? And as I already mentioned, full moons, the only way we can have a full moon where the entire face of the moon is unobstructed and can be seen is if the sun and the moon are exactly opposite one another. The sun's shining on the full face of the moon, which means they're in opposite zodiac signs. So understanding this gives you, just like understanding the wheel of the year astrologically, understanding the moon phases astrologically, and I actually teach a whole free class just on this, which you can find on my website, gives you so much more context for working with the moon phases. Now, one of my favorite ways to work with the moon phases in this method, the celestial alchemy method, is what I call your personal moon power days. So just as the sun moves through the 12 zodiac signs every year, activates different parts of your chart, the moon does that every month. So the moon moves through the zodiac, all 12 signs every month. And again, it activates each house, each planet, each thing going on in your chart. And what this really reflects, because the moon changes signs every 2.5 days versus every month, is this really reflects the ebbs and flows of your energy, your moods, your emotions, all things the moon rules on different days. Okay. It's not arbitrary at all. And when you track this for yourself, if you've ever felt like you just don't know why you're so tired certain days of the month, you just can't figure it out, or if you feel like one day you have tons of energy and the next day it's like it evaporated, right? Or you feel like there are certain days of the month where you are just really super on and you're so productive, and then a couple of days later, you're like, I just want to sleep, right? It's probably the moon. It's the answer is always the moon. So it's not arbitrary at all. As the moon moves through certain houses in your chart, as it activates certain planets, you're going to have more or less energy, right? And it's really important, again, to track this for yourself and not just like kind of take it at face value, because we have to incorporate our own human experience as well. But this is really, really powerful information. So these are like the three main pillars of the Celestial Alchemy method, right? Number one, every planet is in a sign, is in a house. You have unique combinations of archetypes that show up in your own chart. As the sun moves around the zodiac, it activates different parts of your chart throughout the year. And as the moon moves around your chart throughout the month, it activates different parts of your chart and reflects the ebbs and flows of your own energy. Okay. These are the pillars of this method. It's a lot of information, I know, but when you start to really work with them in concert with one another versus trying to master everything there is to know about the moon phases before you learn about the seasons, before you learn to interpret your own chart, when you actually understand them all together, they actually become so much easier to learn. Now, there's one other little component that I want to bring in here, which in many ways I would say is not as essential a part of the Celestial Alchemy method, but is really, really powerful. And I do use a lot, is this real concept of bringing it all down to earth. And if you have, as many of you mentioned, if you have read my second book, The Modern Witch's Guide to Natural Magic, this is exactly what the second book is all about. So basically, plants and crystals are all associated with a particular element, particular planet, and particular zodiac sign. And we can bring certain plants or certain crystals into our lives, into our practices. We can bring them, help our, you know, recommend them to our clients, et cetera, in order to either balance something that is happening in the chart or in the sky, or to channel that. So for example, if you're wanting like the Venus in Cancer energy is just feeling so great, it's so like relaxing and you want more of it, you're going to right now work with something ruled by Venus or something ruled by the moon, right? The planet that rules Cancer. But maybe Mars in Cancer right now, you are just feeling super waterlogged. You're so emotional and you're having a really hard time like actually moving into action. Then you are going to want to bring in some fire, right? You're going to want to bring in something ruled by Aries, or by the sun, right? Those are going to help you balance and what we call remediate. This process is called planetary remediation, whatever is going on. You can also incorporate tarot cards or goddess work or pretty much any other healing modality into your astrology practice. And I'm going to talk in a minute more about that and into your planetary remediation. We just do always want to be really mindful that we're doing so very intentionally and in a really informed way so that we're not committing cultural appropriation along the way. Most healing modalities play pretty well with astrology, but especially if they come from different cultures or different backgrounds or perspectives, it's just always really important to make sure that you're doing so mindfully and respectfully. Okay. This is the motto we started with, right? That the sun, moon, and stars become more than the sum of their parts when we learn and work with them all together. They provide context and nuance for one another, and they actually become easier to understand when we work with them all together in this way. So far, I know I'm already an hour in. So far, we have covered what's a natal chart all about? What are transits? We've talked about the archetypal zodiac, the 12 archetypes and the six pairs of signs. We've talked about seasonal astrology, lunar astrology. We've touched on planetary remediation. What more could there possibly be to talk about? I promise I still have a bunch more slides. So what's next in today's class? We're going to talk moving forward. We're going to do Q&A first, then we're going to talk moving forward about combining astrology with other modalities, some of the ways you can do that, and pursuing a career in astrology or getting an astrology certification if that is something you're interested in, okay? But first, I want to do some Q&A because I know we just covered so freaking much information. Okay, so we already have a couple of questions. So we're going to, I'm going to do Q&A now. Go ahead and drop any questions you have so far in the chat. I'm just going to refill my tea while you do that. And I'll be right back. Okay. Ooh, it is hot. Excuse me. Okay. Brianna says, would you mind repeating the pillars, please? Absolutely. So basically the pillars of this method are understanding the natal chart, which is going to be, you know, understanding your unique combinations of planets in signs, in houses, what those unique combinations of archetypes are. So understanding the natal chart. Then seasonal astrology, right? So understanding how the wheel of the year, how the solar festivals are very connected and related to astrology, and how they influence your own experience of the seasons. And then the third being lunar astrology, how the moon, as it moves through the zodiac, how we have new and full moons in particular signs at particular times of the year, what that represents. And then again, as the moon moves through the 12 signs of the zodiac, how it's influencing us individually. So natal chart, astrology, seasonal astrology, lunar astrology. Jadzia says, I love the part in your second book where you have us write out our own chart with all the correspondences. I have a whole page with all that put together and I refer to it constantly. I love that. Yeah, you know, really doing this as like an exercise, which I teach quite a bit of in the Starlight Coven for those of you that are in there. We're going to be doing in a really in-depth way, like a really nerdy way in the certification program. Like you're definitely going to want to be like an astrology nerd if you do the certification program, or at least be excited to watch me be a nerd about it. Doing this as an exercise is going to help you understand your chart so much better. Anna says, can you say something about dignities? Yes. So essential dignity, a very traditional astrology concept that I wasn't even really going to touch on that much in the certification. And then I ended up making like a 30-minute training about nothing but that because it is really fascinating. So here's the gist, okay? So every planet, it rules a particular sign, which we've already talked about, right? Every planet rules a sign or two signs in some cases. And the sign that a planet rules is said to be its domicile. Okay. So how do I be brief? Okay. So the sign that each planet rules is its domicile or its home, right? It's literally what it means. The sign that is opposite the sign of rulership is set where a planet is said to be in detriment. Okay. Now, here's a big reason why I don't use the essential dignities that much is because I find them to be really disempowering in a lot of ways. The idea that so I have a lot of planets in fall and in detriment in my chart. And a lot of traditional astrologers would say, like, I'm going to have a really hard life. And I don't particularly think that's true. I don't think it has to be true. Right. So when a planet is in detriment, basically, it doesn't have as much access, theoretically, to its natural self, right? To its natural expression. But really to me, I think that it can give us information about why that planet or that area of life might experience challenges or might, you know, be manifesting in an unusual way. But I prefer less or I guess more empowering language. There's also two other dignities, which are a little bit more arbitrary. With the traditional planets, the planets that were discovered in ancient times, right? Venus and Mars and Jupiter and all of those, they're pretty well accepted. And the other dignities have been in use for thousands of years. With the modern planets, there's much debate. It's really kind of unsettled as to which planets are in these different dignities in different signs. But basically, each planet, in addition to having a domicile and a detriment, is also said to have an exaltation, a sign where it's very happy and just like expresses itself very naturally. And then the opposite of the exaltation, the opposite sign, is where that planet is said to be in fall, meaning, again, it doesn't have as much access to that natural expression. So I think the essential dignity is really useful to understand and to know what those are, because it tells us something about each planet, about each sign. And I like to really reframe them and use them in a different way than we traditionally would in traditional astrology. All right, if there are any other questions, go ahead and drop them in the chat. I'm gonna try from here out to answer questions as we go along. So hopefully I won't get too distracted. Okay, so for the second part of our class here today, and thank you for bearing with me. I know this is a long class today. For the second part of our class, we are gonna be talking, as I said, more about how to work with astrology in your life, in your, work, in your business, in, you know, kind of whatever it is that you do, whatever you're wanting to use astrology for. So first off, we've covered a lot of ground. So maybe grab a cup of tea, get a sip of water, take a big deep breath. We just unpacked a lot, right? And I want you to just reflect for a moment on really what brought you here, right? Like I said, we have almost 500 people who signed up to get access to this class, to join today or to get the replay. So we all have lots of different reasons, but there's a couple things I find are very common, right? So maybe you are fascinated by astrology, but it just feels so complicated, right? Like you'll never understand it all. Or maybe you've taken courses or you've read books and it just feels like they went right over your head, right? Maybe it just feels like really confusing. It feels overwhelming, right? Maybe it also is that it seems so abstract, right? So maybe you kind of understand it, but you don't really know what to do with it, right? You don't know how to apply or implement what you learn in your life, let alone like if you wanted to share that with a friend and read their chart for them, or, you know, work with it, work with astrology with your clients and whatever it is that you do, right? So maybe you feel really confused or overwhelmed by astrology, or maybe you kind of get it, but it just seems so abstract, so outside of yourself, right? And yet, if you're here, you probably know that you really have this calling. You feel really called to the stars. You have a calling to really receive their wisdom and probably even to share it with others, right? Like when you know something about astrology, you tend to be really, really excited about it, right? You want to talk about it with other people. So I want to know which of these is you, okay? So we're going to do a little interaction here. So if this first one is you, okay, you want to deepen your knowledge of astrology so that you can really read and interpret your own chart and maybe even read for friends and family, okay? So if that is you, drop a one in the chat. Or maybe you are wanting to incorporate astrology into other work that you do, right? You do various things that you like, you like the work that you do, but you know astrology could really support you and your work, support your clients. If that's you, drop a two in the chat and tell us what you do. Tell us what you're up to. Or maybe you are curious about actually pursuing a career as a part-time or full-time astrologer like me. I started part-time and then, you know, here I am doing it full-time. So if that is you, drop a three in the chat, okay? All right, we've got lots of ones, lots of threes, couple of twos. Cool, okay. Evie says, I'm a self-discovery coach using EFT as my main modality. I love that. Love that. Yeah, astrology works really well with other modalities like EFT, like, we've got so many things, light language, right?
Brianna says, one and two, moonology magic, natural magic. I also love looking into psychology. Interesting. Cool. April says, maybe incorporating astrology into my yoga now that I'm certified. Woo, so exciting. Janine, incorporating as a healer and a self-care coach. Absolutely. Any kind of coaching or, you know, any kind of coaching, absolutely any kind of coaching. Astrology can work so well with, because it can help you understand your clients. It can help you also understand, this is equally as important, can help you understand yourself and what you need in order to be able to practice self-care, in order to be able to keep showing up for your people. Helps all the way across the board. Okay, so first I want to speak to our twos here, right? So actually, first of all, speaking to our ones, right? If you are, you know, you're not necessarily wanting to pursue astrology as a career, you're really just wanting to deepen your knowledge, I wanted to share a little bit with you about what that can look like, right? So this is where I started, right? I never thought I was going to be an astrologer, right? I was just like, oh, this is so helpful for understanding myself and understanding some of the parts of myself that I struggle with, or I don't really like, that I have shadows around, so many things. Okay. So if you're really just wanting to deepen your knowledge of astrology for yourself, maybe for your friends and family, it can really support your spiritual practice and your self-care. This goes for everybody, right? Even if you are doing astrology as a career, it can help you so much too. One of the big, big things that astrology can help with is it's going to help you understand and manage your own energy. This was a huge thing for me. This is where the seasonal and lunar astrology components of the method really came from, is that I realized at certain times of the year when the sun was in certain signs, and at certain times of the month when the moon was in certain signs, I had less energy, or I was cranky, or I tended to get into arguments with people in my life. And I won't say that that's necessarily changed, but I have so much more awareness of it, right? I can give myself so much more grace. I can prepare for those times when possible, or, you know, set myself up for success. Like, so powerful. Astrology is also really going to help you understand the people around you better, right? What cycles they are in, where they're at in their seasonal or lunar cycle. You know, this is really, whether it's your clients, whether it's your friends and family, the people you live with, like, this can be so, so helpful. Okay. Okay. So now for our twos, right? If you are really wanting to explore incorporating astrology with the work that you're already doing, right? And we have some really fun, all different things that people are doing. You can incorporate astrology with literally any other career path or tool or modality that you use in your work. Okay. So I just dropped a few like fun examples here in the slide. But if you have questions about exactly how, I mean, not exactly, right? But we can workshop a little bit how you might incorporate astrology into the work that you're doing. Feel free to drop them in the chat. But these were my couple of ideas I dropped here on the slide. So if you are a tarot reader, right, or really you're doing any other kind of divination, astrology will really deepen your understanding of the cards or of the runes or whatever it is that you're practicing, right? Astrology fits beautifully with most other forms of magic and divination. Because again, everything in astrology is archetypal, right? It's going to help you better understand the elements in the tarot, right? And the different archetypes that show up in the tarot and in astrology, right? It's going to give you more context. But even if you're not necessarily in like such a spiritual business, you know, maybe you're not a tarot reader, maybe you're like a massage therapist, right? Something more kind of real world and practical, or, you know, at least by society standards. Astrology will actually, and if you're doing massage or any other kind of body work, astrology will actually really inform your knowledge of the body and what areas might be impacted by certain seasons or transits. Every planet is associated with particular parts of the body. Every sign rules a particular area of the body. This can be really good for, you know, if you're teaching movement classes, if you're doing any kind of body work, this can be really useful information. If you're a writer, right? If you're like a fiction writer, maybe the zodiac archetypes are going to really inspire your characters. A lot of writers do this more than you might realize. Or maybe even you're a nonfiction writer, but understanding your own chart is going to help you to write and express yourself in a way that others can really receive and receive clearly. Maybe you're in marketing, right? Something really just tangible and practical, outside of the spiritual world. The transits are going to be so useful for you. In fact, I had two here. If you're like in marketing or you work in retail, anything like that, where you kind of like work with people, the transits and moon phases are so powerful. Okay. They're going to give you so much insight into this like collective zeitgeist, right? Like, what are people focused on? When are customers likely to be like a little extra annoying and spicy, right? When's a good time to ask for a raise? Like literally any of these like real world careers astrology can help with. I also put in here, if you're an herbalist or you really work with any kind of plants or crystals or anything along those lines, understanding the planetary rulership of the tools that you work with will really deepen your work with them, right? Just like astrology can deepen your understanding of the tarot and also deepen your understanding of plants. Really powerful. Like, I can't even tell you. And this was just like my little brainstorm of what are some different careers you could use astrology in. You can use it with absolutely anything. Jack says it can definitely can enhance artistic expression. Yeah. If you are doing any kind of art or creative work, understanding the transits, understanding your own chart is going to help you to express yourself really authentically. Jack says this can help neurodivergent people navigate the chaos of the world and all the confusing people. Definitely. Yeah. No, understanding astrology gives you so much information about the world around you. It really does. Okay. So for our twos and threes, especially, but ones as well, maybe you're toying with this idea of becoming a certified astrologer, okay? So here's the thing. I'm going to say something contradictory. You don't need a certification in order to be a part-time or even a full-time astrologer, okay? I was a practicing astrologer for at least 4 years before I became certified. I was doing readings. I was working with clients. I was even teaching. I had actually even started my membership before I completed my certification, because certification, that's not what certification is about. Okay. Now, does this sound counterintuitive? Is this surprising since I'm launching a certification program? Not to me. And allow me to explain. So certifications, especially in the spiritual world, right? There are certain industries, certain career paths where certifications are a necessary thing. Really wonderful. They can be great for our marketing to be able to say, I am certified in this. Someone else who is good at this thing said I was good at it too, right? It gives us some authority. That is not a bad thing at all. However, certifications, especially in an industry like the spiritual business community, are something we should pursue when we feel passionate about the topic and we feel connected to the teacher, okay? As opposed to feeling like it's something that you need in order for your work, your wisdom to be valid, okay? A certification is not about getting validated by someone else. It is about building your authority if you feel called to do so. And it is about really deepening your knowledge, deepening your wisdom, and finding ways to express that wisdom, right? Because you have your own innate wisdom about astrology, right? Even everyone who goes through the certification program with me, you're going to develop your own methodology. You're going to get to use my archetypes and, you know, my approaches to seasonal lunar astrology and things like that. When you complete the certification and all the requirements, you're going to get to use those tools. But you're going to develop your own methodology more importantly, right? You're going to find your unique innate way of working with and interpreting and sharing astrology. So certifications are, especially in this industry, are not required in any way, but if you feel called to them, if you do feel passionate about astrology and you're really interested in learning my methods, the methods we talked about today, you feel connected to me, you feel called to learn from me, no matter where you are, our ones, our twos, our threes, then I, of course, I would be honored to invite you to join my new program. So I am launching a certification, the Celestial Alchemy Astrology Certification. So let's talk about why. So if astrology certifications are not required, why should you? Why should you get certified? So number one, I want to say that this certification will be a certification in my methods, right? Just as the certification I did with my mentor was in her methods. There is no like governing body that says you are a certified astrologer, right? And in fact, there are a lot of industries where that's not the case. Herbalism is an important one that people don't realize. There's no governing body that says, like, yes, you are certified. There are different organizations, different companies that offer certifications in their methods. So that's what this will be. So here are a few ways that certification with me will benefit you if it's something you're feeling called to. So you're going to get direct feedback from me, an very experienced astrologer, on your chart readings, your transit interpretations, so that you can strengthen your knowledge and your confidence. Again, this isn't about validation. It's more about feedback. It's about being in conversation with other people who also know about and are passionate about astrology, so that you can strengthen your own passion and confidence. You're going to strengthen, you're going to feel more confident reading and interpreting your own birth charts for others, your family, your friends, your clients. You're going to learn some techniques for creating custom readings for clients so that you can get paid competitive rates for your unique intuitive insight and knowledge, because it is so important that we shift this paradigm and we allow people who have spiritual wisdom to share to be paid abundantly for their wisdom. Okay, it is such an important gift and you deserve to be well compensated for it. And as I said, you're also, people who complete the certification are going to get access to share my established and published methods with your own clients in your own content, et cetera. So you're going to get so many things out of this. So I want to now kind of move into talking about the certification program, what's included, all the good stuff. So first, here are just a couple, just a handful of testimonials from clients about learning astrology with me, right? So the certification program is brand new, has not started yet. So I don't have testimonials for the program itself yet, although I do already have almost 20 people signed up for the program, which will tell you a little something. But these are some testimonials about learning astrology itself from me. So Jane said, learning my personal astrology has been very powerful and illuminating for me. I came into the Starlight Coven not knowing much about astrology, and I really didn't expect to connect with it, but it has given me a lot of insight on my personality and has helped me key in on what really works for my spiritual practice. This person said, it's amazing. There is so much helpful information here. I will admit I was never super interested in my personal astrology before. When I created my birth chart, learned about placements, houses, et cetera, it was really eye-opening. Like, oh, so that's why I'm the way I am, which I totally resonate with. Then you get to see what can help you during a given transit or season, et cetera. And this person said, honestly, I didn't really come to learn about astrology, but that has been the most impactful and empowering thing I've learned. It's unlocked so many doors I didn't even know were closed. So much more of the way I interact with the universe makes sense to me now in a way I could have never imagined. Now, anytime I hear someone say they aren't really into astrology, I sigh to myself because they have no idea how much they're missing out on in making sense of their own experiences. So just a little taste. Okay, couple of comments. Evie says, this has been so fascinating. I've learned so much. I'll watch the replay ASAP. Yay, awesome. Jadzia says, right now, I'm just trying to really learn and understand my chart and how to use it. But since I started following you, I've made giant steps in astrology. So you would be my absolute go-to if I should ever want to certify. You have a wonderful way to explain and teach astrology better than I ever thought possible. Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Okay. So we're going to go through the details of the program. Okay. So if you're interested in what is this program all about, that's what we're going to do here. So here's, you know, kind of the gist, right? You're going to get more confident reading charts, writing horoscopes, using astrology in your life and your business in all the ways, right? With your clients, in your marketing, et cetera. You're going to get feedback from an established astrologer, me, with tons of access to ask questions. Okay. We're going to have a community space, office hours, calls, all sorts of things. So here's the most important dates. Okay. The deadline to join the founding cohort of the certification is next week, May 18th. Okay. And the program, which is going to be 6 months, starts May 22nd. So the deadline to sign up is next week, and then we get started right away the following Monday. So I'm going to take us through the curriculum and then what is included. So as I said, this is going to be a live 6 month program. So there's 3 units, each of them are 2 months. So unit 1, which we'll be getting started with very soon, which is so exciting. Unit 1 is going to cover the essentials of astrology. So a lot of what we talked about today, but so much more in depth, and with lots of opportunity to, you know, have discussion about it. So we're going to talk about the planets and luminaries, the zodiac signs by elements and modalities, whole signs houses, the archetypal zodiac of the planets, signs, and houses. We'll also be talking about the ascendant or rising sign and the chart ruler, which is the planet that rules the rising sign. And we'll be talking about planetary retrogrades in the chart. And then we'll also be really delving into this celestial alchemy method, the movement of the sun through the chart with the seasons, the movement of the moon through the chart each month, planetary remediation with plants, crystals, goddesses, tarot cards, et cetera. So that'll be the first 2 months. Then unit two, the second 2 months, we're going to delve more into really reading charts. So the first unit is really delving into your own chart, right? What's going on there? And then starting to apply that information in unit two. So we'll be talking about reading charts, different types of astrology readings that you can offer, formulas for interpreting charts and intuitive methods for interpreting charts, because I really like to have both, to have some like structures and formulaic approaches, and then always bringing the intuitive insight in as well. We'll be talking about element and sign dominance in the chart, which is a really useful tool. So to understand like the overall energetic signature of the chart. We'll be talking about tips and tricks for like reading charts for different kinds of people, like children or your partner or things like that. There's going to be different approaches. In unit two, we'll also be talking about interpreting the transits. So this is really going beyond just the movement of the sun and the moon to look at all of the planets. So how do the transits impact the collective? How to write horoscopes? How transits impact us individually? And definitely a popular one will be planetary retrogrades, right? Right now, Mercury's retrograde. We'll be talking about that kind of stuff. And then in our last 2 months together for unit three, we're really going to be going into the like really advanced fun stuff. So we're going to be looking at additional objects like goddess asteroids, Chiron, black moon Lilith, which is a point on the moon's orbit. We'll be talking about this more shamanic approach, really using astrology as a spiritual tool, karmic astrology, the planets as spirit guides. And we'll also be talking about lunar, solar, and planetary returns, which is, again, a really fun, useful technique. And then most importantly, unit three will be really about, and this will be woven into unit two as well, about developing your methodology, really intuitively finding your own way as an astrologer. So we're going to be covering all of this over the next 6 months. So here's what's practically included in the program. So you get all the trainings and educational materials, you get lifetime access to those. When you buy the course, you're going to get all the things. The way that these are set up is I'm doing like roughly 10 to 20 minute videos. It's working out. It'll be about an hour of video and audio content released each week. So the videos are all captioned with written captions and also available as audio. So you can watch or listen or read as you prefer to. It'll be roughly about an hour released each week, but in short videos. So for example, like this one, right? So like planets and luminaries, this is the first week. And it's about an hour total content, but there's a video about the sun and the moon. There's a video about essential dignity, things like that. So, but they're relatively short, which I'm doing on purpose to hopefully make it a little bit less overwhelming. And so you can easily find a particular topic again in the future. So you're getting about an hour of video and audio content each week. And you're also getting like PDF handouts every week. So I'm making tons of really helpful references. There's like glossaries of terms, tables of essential dignity, tables of the planets and their signs and houses and archetypes, like tons of really great reference material. So you get all of that, and we're releasing it each week. So it's, you're not getting access to everything all at once, just an hour of video content and a couple handouts each week. You're getting in the live course, we're going to have a private Slack community workspace, which is, if you've never used Slack before, it's kind of like a Facebook group, but private. It's in its own app. And you'll have tons of access in there to discuss with other participants, to ask me questions. It's going to be a great community space. And in addition to the Slack, you're also going to get access to 12 office hours calls on Zoom with me. So we'll be releasing the whole calendar of them. So you can add them to your own Google Calendar, be prepared for those in advance. And instead of doing live trainings, it'll just be discussion and Q&A and support. So I'll just be on for the office hours calls, and whoever wants to jump on and ask questions or share a chart and talk about it, we'll be able to do that. You're also going to get access to all of the homework assignments and quizzes, which are the certification part of the course. So in order to actually become certified from In My Methods from me, you'll need to complete all the quizzes. There's 6 quizzes, like one per month. And then there's like 5-ish homework assignments and projects for each unit. So it's about 15 total assignments. And they really range. So it's things like, you know, really delving into your unique combination of archetypes through planet, sign, house in your chart and interpreting that. You're going to be writing horoscopes. You're going to be doing a planetary remediation ritual and reporting back on it. They're going to be really, really fun. Okay. So the program starts May 22nd, 12 days from today, and we'll run live for 6 months. So it runs through, I think it's mid-November or something like that. And you'll have 2 years from the program start date, so until May 2025, to complete the certification requirements. So I'm doing this for 2 reasons. One, because I want to give you lots of abundant, spacious time. You do not have to complete it while we are doing the course live. No, you do not have to. You can if you want to, but you do not have to. You don't have to rush and be stressed. So I want to give you lots of time, but I also know, like, I've been known to sign up for certifications and then forget about them for like 4 years. So I also wanted to give it some, so a container. So you'll have 2 years from the program start date to complete the requirements. And if you don't do that, but you still want to complete the requirements, you'll be able to file for an extension. Okay, so here's the pricing. So the pay in full is $29.99. We have a payment plan, which is this actually, I knew I made this typo somewhere. I couldn't remember where it was. It's actually 6 monthly payments of $549. I don't know where I came up with 9, but it's six monthly payments. So the payment plan is slightly more than the pay in full. We also have extended payment plans available. So please feel free to just send me an email. You know, we can do like bi-weekly payments or things like that if you need a different payment option. So we're just keeping it simple on the website, but you know, if you need a different payment option, please do let me know. So again, if you do the certification with me, you're gonna get more confident reading charts and writing horoscopes and using astrology in all the ways. You're gonna get to work with me and get tons of access to ask me questions about your chart, about charts you're working on, and get feedback on your interpretations. So the deadline to sign up is May 18th. This will be most likely, so as I said, the program is gonna run through like November-ish, October, November. I think it's the first week of November. So this will probably be the very last chance to sign up for this year. It's my hope for this to become a program that I run maybe once a year or something like that, but I don't know that for sure. So if you are wanting to do this, if you are curious about doing this, then I really encourage you to sign up for this founding cohort, because I don't know when we'll be running it again. I don't know what the price will be when we run it again, et cetera. So the deadline to sign up is next week, May 18th on Thursday. It's actually 1 week from tomorrow. And then we'll be getting started right away the following week on May 22nd. So that Monday, you're going to get access that morning to the first week's content. We'll have our first call that week. We're going to dive straight in. Okay. So if anybody has any questions about the program or about anything else we talked about, please feel free to drop those in the chat. We can do some more Q&A. And I also just want to speak to, you know, who this program is really for. So whether you dropped a 1, a 2, or a 3 in the chat, it's really for all 3 of you, right? So we, as I said, we already have almost 20 people signed up for this program, which is like, I can't even tell you how like exciting and heartwarming and like, oh my God, that we already have almost 20 people. And they are such a broad mix. So we absolutely have people who are ones who are wanting to deepen their knowledge of astrology for themselves so that they can interpret their own chart more readily and maybe do charts for friends and family. We definitely have a lot of 2s, people that are wanting to incorporate astrology into things they're already doing, into their work as coaches, into their work as writers, as tarot readers, as et cetera, all different sorts of things. And we have 3s, people who are really considering becoming a part-time or full-time astrologer and really making this their main career. So whether you're a 1, 2, or 3, this program, this course is absolutely for you. And I also just want to say, you know, like I said, you'll have lots of spaciousness to complete the certification requirements. You're also not required to complete them. So if you decide you just want to take this as a course, you're absolutely welcome to do that as well. There's no pressure.
Okay, let me stop sharing. Hey, oh, and it's 3:33 here.
Awesome. All right. So if anybody has any questions, go ahead and drop those. And then we'll also, of course, we'll be emailing out the replay of this. I'll put the PDF of the slides in there as well. You'll have access to revisit this replay through the 18th next week too. Jack says, last week in my poetry class, someone said he hates Pisces. I emailed him some material to consider. That which we think we hate is deeply embedded in our being and is reflected in our natal charts. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's so much the idea of planetary remediation, right? Is like a lot of times what we're most resistant to is what we need to call in more of. Astrology really can inform so much of that in our lives and in our businesses, right? We can use it there too. Okay. Brittany says, if I wanted to do a business right off for a startup business, do I have to have the business established now? Do I get 100% back in taxes if I do a business write off? Maybe I need a tax person. Yeah. So I can't give you like official advice. You would definitely want to check with a tax person or your accountant. But I will say in just my own experience, not tax advice, is I actually only became like an official LLC like a year or two ago. And I absolutely wrote off all my business expenses before that. You don't have to be an LLC. You can just be what's called a sole proprietor. This is definitely US. It does vary a little bit by state. So you definitely want to make sure that you are, you know, doing what you need to do for your specific location. But theoretically, for the most part, you typically get to write off 100% of professional development, courses, programs, et cetera, for your business, even if you are a sole proprietor. But with that said, definitely check with your tax person. good to make sure you're doing it right. And that is typically what it gets categorized as, is professional development. So awesome. All right. So we will be emailing out this replay shortly. As soon as it gets loaded to Zoom, I'll send it out this afternoon. We'll also be sending out the link to the certification. Actually, I'm actually going to go ahead and just drop the link to the certification right here for you so you can go and check it out. The link is right on the website. You can just go ahead and sign up for it, or you can absolutely send me an email if you have any questions, or if you need to inquire about an extended payment plan. I'm happy to discuss that with you. Thank you so much, everyone who stuck with me for an hour and a half today. I hope this was really helpful and inspiring, and gave you some insight into some different methods of working with astrology. And I can't wait to work with some of you in the certification program. It is going to be such a special group. It's already like just the people signed up for this program are incredible. So cannot wait to have you join us. And I'll see you in there starting May 22nd.
As always, thanks for listening to the Empowered Modern Witches Show. I'm Tanae Stewart, the Witch of Lupin Hollow, and it's my pleasure to be your host. If you loved this episode, be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Much love from Lupin Hollow.